tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Lindonier. Coming up later in this hour, The Anderson Family from 1947. But first, a broadcast of Meet Millie, a CBS episode from September 4th, 1951.
And now, Meet Millie, created by Frank Galen and starring Audrey Totter. Yes, you're about to meet Millie, that great American institution, the secretary, whose life is an object lesson for young women everywhere. For while other girls frittered away their time, our Millie slaved long nights over typing, filing, shorthand, and commercial law. And did this selfless devotion to duty pay off? You bet it did. Today, after only 9 weeks in the office of J.R. Boone, Millie is dating regularly with the boss's son. So, remember, girls, if you want to be successful secretaries, work hard, study faithfully, have confidence in yourself, and also have big blue eyes, soft blonde hair, and a luscious figure. And now, let's join our successful heroine and her mama in their Jackson Heights apartment, where the topic of conversation seems to be the family finances.
But, Mom, it's only Tuesday already. How come you need an extra $7 so early in the week all of a sudden?
Well, you see, honey, it's this way. Last week, I had to pay the milkman for 2 weeks, so I asked the insurance man to wait a week. But I already owed him for three, so I postponed the butcher's bill for a week and also the gas bill. Because besides the milkman, the installment on the refrigerator was due. And next week, I got to pay the shoemaker for my brown shoes that he fixed last week. Otherwise, the insurance will lapse and they'll shut off the gas. See? Let's go around again, and this time I want a white horse.
You mean you don't understand my system? It's so simple, Millie.
Mama, tell the truth. Do you really have a system for keeping the account straight?
Well, of course I do. I file all the bills alphabetically according to name. And I also cross-file them according to date due. And I rotate them so the current bills keep moving up. You see?
I see.
And then when the man comes to the door with the summons, I pay.
Some system. But it works somehow. We've got more money in our savings account than we ever had.
Yeah.
I only hope when I'm running a household I can manage as well as you do.
Just don't be a dope like I was, Millie. Learn to spend more than your husband makes. A man needs an expensive wife to get ahead in the world. It gives him incentive. He works like a dog to pay the bills. A woman owes it to her husband to spend his money like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the least you can do for him. I'll do my best.
Good girl. And don't let his insurance lapse. Because, you know something? For some reason or other, they don't live as long as we do.
I think I can see why.
Yeah. We're a pretty sneaky sex, huh?
We sure are.
Yeah. Still, maybe it isn't nice for a mother to talk to a daughter this way. When you get right down to it, money isn't the important thing in a marriage.
That's true. It's love that makes the world go round.
Yeah, and all is not gold that glitters.
That's right. And money's the root of all evil.
Sure, and money can't buy happiness.
Yeah, and let's see, what are some of those other stupid sayings?
You know, my favorite is, who steals my purse steals trash.
Yeah, that's a beaut.
All I can say is I'm very glad your boyfriend, Mr. Boone Jr., is loaded.
Well, that's just a coincidence, Mama. You can talk all you want, but when you fall in love, you don't care about money.
You're telling me. I got the dishpan hands to prove it. Money's mighty nice stuff, just the same.
I'd be just as crazy about Mr. Boone Jr. if he didn't have a cent, Mama. As a matter of fact, I'd prefer him to be poor.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. That way I could stand by his side and struggle with him to carve a place in the world. The two of us fighting our way up the ladder. Now, because he's rich, I'll be denied that struggle.
Oh, does my heart bleed for you?
Oh, Mama. Say, Look at the time. I better be getting down to work. I'll be home early to get dressed. Got a big date tonight.
Yeah, with Junior? Where's he taking you?
I don't know, but it's formal, so he must be planning something big. Maybe the store club.
The store club again?
So what's wrong with the store club?
I already got ashtrays from there. Why can't he take you to the Monte Carlo? I understand they got beautiful silver drink mixers.
Mama.
If you wear your dress with the bustle, you could bring me home a couple of dozen.
I'm sorry about your collection, Mama, but I like the store club. Maybe if we go there, there's something else besides ashtrays I could bring you.
Well, there's the... Nah.
What?
Nah. Forget it. It's silly.
Oh, come on, Mama. Tell me.
Well, give me a bend down.
Oh, Mama, you wouldn't know what to do with Sherman Billingsley if I did bring him.
I think of something.
J.R. Boone and Son. Mr. Boone, Sr., one moment, please. I'll connect you.
Morning, Miss Bronson.
Oh, Mr. Boone, Jr. Good morning, Mr. Boone, sir.
Miss Bronson, please. This is a business office, and I like to keep our personal relationships out of office routine.
All I said was good morning, Mr. Boone, sir.
I don't object to the words. It's the melody that needs cleaning up.
Oh?
I meant it, Miss Bronson. After all, I'm an executive, and this is a big business, and much too important to be interfered with by any personal monkey business. Do I make myself clear, Miss Bronson?
Say, monkey business again. It makes your mustache twitch.
Miss Bronson, this is your boss speaking.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
That's better. Is my father in yet, Miss Bronson?
Yes, sir, he is.
And is he busy?
Yes, sir, very busy.
And how's about a little kiss, huh?
Mr. Boone, you're an executive, and this is a big business and much too important to be interfered with by any personal monkey business. Do I make myself clear, Mr. Boone?
Yes, ma'am.
So come here and pucker up.
All right, I guess I have to. It's better than breaking in a new secretary.
Now, just a second. You're not under any obligation, you know.
Come here.
If that's the way you feel, I can quit this job. That's what I'll do. I'll quit right now, and you can...
Well?
Tear up my resignation.
You were getting pretty steamed up there, weren't you?
Yeah, and I love the way you cooled off my boiler.
You haven't forgotten we have a date tonight, I hope.
Not a chance.
Good. Well, back to business. There are a couple of letters I'd like to get out, so if you can get Morton out of the shipping department to take over your switchboard, I'll see you in my office. Miss Bronson.
Yes, Mr. Boone. Morton.
Did you call Millie?
Yeah, would you take over the board, Morton? I have to take some dictation from Mr. Boone, Jr.
Gee, do you have to say his name that way, Millie?
What way?
I don't know, but every time you even mention it, your voice bubbles like a glass of champagne.
Don't be silly. When I say your name, my voice bubbles, too. Listen, Morton Rappaport, see?
It's no use, Millie. You may be trying for champagne, but it's coming out Alka-Seltzer.
Ah, you're just being ridiculous.
Oh, yeah? Then prove it. How about a date tonight?
Oh, I wish I could, Morton, but I can't. And you got to stop asking me for dates from now on. You see, Mr. Boone Jr. and I are, well, we're going steady.
Oh. Well, I guess there's nothing for me to do but congratulate him.
Well, please don't, Morton. I'd rather hear the news first from me.
Oh, I see. Well, as long as he doesn't know he's going steady, how about seeing a movie with me tonight?
I'm sorry, Morton.
It's going to be a beautiful night for an open-air movie, Millie. There'll be a full moon and stars.
A drive-in movie? Where did you get a car?
Who said anything about a drive-in? I'm talking about the window of Palumbo's television store. There's a Hopalong Cassidy picture on Channel 14.
It's a very touching invitation, Morton, but I got a real heavy date with Mr. Boone. Sorry.
Come on, Millie, can't you break it? Honest, I'd give anything.
Morton, You can't ask a young lady to break a previous engagement with a fella to whom she hopes to have a permanent one. Now, please take over the switchboard. I'll be just a few minutes.
But, Millie, listen, stop struggling, Morton Rappaport. You got about as much chance with her as a music critic with Margaret Truman. J.R. Boone and Son, good morning.
I'd like to speak to Morton Rappaport, please.
This is he speaking.
Oh, hello. And this is David Clark over at your neighborhood draft board. You applied for that vacancy in our office, a part-time file clerk to work evenings?
Yes, sir, I did, Mr. Clark. Do I get the job?
It's all yours. You can start tomorrow evening.
Oh, swell. Thanks, Mr. Clark.
Glad to have you. Remember, though, it's a 7-night-a-week job.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Mr. Clark, on that other matter, did you ask your fellow members on the board about giving me another chance to pass the physical for the Army?
We had a conference on it, Morton, and we went over your medical report.
Yeah?
It was the unanimous decision of this board that drafting you would be treason.
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry. See you tomorrow night at 8, Morton.
Yeah. Goodbye, Mr. Clark.
Goodbye.
Gee, I wonder how I'll like waking nights. Oh, well, it's the only way I can get through...
You can go back to the stockroom for a while, Morton. Mr. Boone had to stop dictating to check some invoices.
Millie, you just gotta go out with me tonight. You gotta now.
Huh? Why do I have to?
Well, I just got word from my draft board, Millie.
Your draft board?
Yeah.
Oh, Morton.
And tonight will be my last night off.
You mean they're taking you so soon? How can they?
Well, they need me badly. I'm replacing someone who's having his tonsils out.
Oh, Morton, it's so hard to think of you as a soldier.
Huh? Oh,
my hero. Oh, I'm so proud of you, Morton.
Millie,
you look just wonderful in your uniform, and I'll knit your socks like crazy.
Millie, let me explain.
And of course I'll break my date with Mr. Boone tonight and go out with you.
Millie, will you let me talk? I'm trying to tell you. Did you say you'd go out with me tonight?
Yes, but what is it you wanted to talk about?
Nothing. A slip of the lip could sink a ship.
Huh?
Oh, yes, Millie. I can see me now. The bombs bursting all around me. Bullets whistling past my ears.
Oh, Morton.
Tanks rumbling, guns thundering, howitzers howitzing. Martin, to know who knows what fate.
Oh, Martin, I'm so proud of you. I could almost kiss you.
Well, let's keep waking on it. Tramping through the night. Hungry and thirsty. Enemy bombers swooping overhead, dropping their deadly loads all about me. And me shooting bravely at enemy snipers. Bang, bang! I got one! Bang, bang!
You got me, but I won't fall down.
Mr. Boone.
Would someone kindly tell me what's going on here?
Morton's draft board has just called him Mr. Boone. He's going into the Army.
No.
How did you know?
Morton, my boy, this is a big moment. As the first employee of J.R. Boone and Son, you enter the service of our country. I salute you.
But, Mr. Boone, you don't understand. You see...
I'm proud of you, son. Proud. I wish there were some way I could show my appreciation for what you're doing. When do you go in, my boy?
This is his last day here, Mr. Boone.
Your very last day? Well, by George, starting right now, you get a raise of $10 a week.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Boone.
Wait a minute,
but
I'll go further than that. I'm going to show our entire industry how to treat employees entering the service. Morton, as president of the Association of Novelty Manufacturers, I invite you to be guest of honor at our banquet tomorrow night at the Waldorf.
But he can't be there tomorrow night, Mr. Boone. Tomorrow he'll be in uniform.
Nonsense. They'll give him an extra day. I'll speak to his draft board. What's their number, Morton?
No. I'll arrange it. I'll speak to them.
Fine. I'll set an example for the entire country at that banquet. I'll have reporters there, the newsreels. What an occasion for the novelty industry. I'll start on the arrangements right now. You're in the Army now. You're not behind a plow. You'll never get rich. You...
Oh, Morton, isn't it wonderful? You're a hero. Morton, talk to me. Martin, Martin, just don't stand there looking sick. Martin, say something.
Oi.
There we are. If I say so myself, I never arranged a more beautiful table.
Oh, it is pretty, Mama. I just love the way you spelled out goodbye our hero in potato pancakes.
Yeah, I thought it'd be appropriate. Wait till you see the radishes. I carved them in the shape of little guns.
Repeaters, of course.
Yeah. And you'll love the olives. I put pieces of pimento on them for fins, and they look just like little blockbusters.
Oh, Mama.
Listen, it's the least we can do for a boy who's going into uniform.
Yeah, we're sure doing our part to make more...
There he is.
Okay, now, I'll open the door, and you stand on that side, and I'll stand over here. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Welcome our hero.
All hail Morton Rappaport.
Martin, little hero, we're going to give you a salute of 21 potato pancakes. And a big pot roast, too.
Yeah, sit down in that big chair, Morton. I'll get you something to put your feet on.
Would you like a cocktail before dinner, Morton? Vegetable cocktail, that is?
No, thanks.
You look a little uncomfortable. Take off your coat, Morton.
No, I'd rather keep it on. I've had a cold chill all day.
Don't be silly. It's warm in here.
Oh, come on, Morton. Take off your coat. Get comfortable.
I may never be comfortable again.
Morton, don't say that. Millie. Millie, he's right. Oh, Morton. No, you'll be all right, Morton. I know you will.
No, don't cry. There's nothing to cry about, really. Don't cry, I said. Don't cry. Nothing to cry about, I tell you. I'm not being drafted. The draft board wants me for a clanking job.
Oh, poor Morton. Did you hear that, Millie? They want to take this fine boy in the bloom of his youth and put him in a clerking job. A clerking job?
Morton, what are you saying?
It's true, Millie. I wasn't drafted at all. I was just kidding. I'm sorry.
Morton, I broke a date with Mr. Boone Jr. for a civilian.
And I went and spelled out goodbye our hero in potato pancakes. Morton Rappaport, you're going to eat those words.
He's not going to eat a bite. Of all the contemptible tricks, Morton Rappaport, deliberately letting us think
Millie, I wanted to explain. Honest, I did. But ever since Mr. Boone Sr. started all that fuss over me and invited me to that banquet and everything, my tongue's been hiding in back of my tonsils.
Oh, Morton, you ought to be ashamed.
I know. What am I going to do, Millie? What am I going to do about Mr. Boone?
Well, there's only one thing you can do. Tell him the truth.
Tell him I'm not really going into the army after all the plans he's made?
Certainly. What are you, a man or a mouse?
I don't know, but right now a piece of cheese would look wonderful to me.
Morton, you got to tell him. And the very first thing in the morning, too. He's getting the whole Association of Novelty Manufacturers into an uproar over you.
But how can I, Millie? You know his temper. He'll kill me.
Oh, don't be silly. Mr. Boone is excitable, but he isn't that bad. Probably all he'll do is... Mama, get out the pot roast. Let's give the condemned man a hearty meal. Hi, Morton.
Oh, hello, Millie.
Well, you're still alive, I see.
Of course I am.
Mr. Boone Sr. didn't hit you after all.
Don't be silly.
Did he boil you out?
Yeah.
You mean he didn't even get mad?
At me? Why should he?
Oh, that's wonderful.
I didn't tell him yet.
Oh, Morton, don't you see the longer you let this go on, the worse it'll get?
I know, Millie, but I just haven't got the courage.
You have got to have the courage, Morton.
I have?
You're a man. You've got red blood in your veins.
That's the trouble. I'd like to keep it there.
Morton Rappaport, if you don't go in there right now and tell him the truth, I will.
No, no, I will. You're right, Millie. Why should I be afraid of him? I'll show you and I'll show him. Here goes.
Good boy.
Well, Morton, our hero, how are you, boy?
What's the matter?
He isn't in yet.
Morton Rappaport, you get in there. You got yourself into this and you got to get yourself out of
it. Okay, I'm going, I'm going.
Come in, Morton, come in. Well, son, tonight's going to be the greatest night in the history of J.R. Boone and Son and the novelty industry.
Mr. Boone, there's something I've just got to tell you.
First, let me tell you about tonight. To pay tribute to you and to the uniform of our country, I've arranged for His Excellency the Governor, His Honor the Mayor, and the President of the City Council to attend our dinner in person. How about that, huh? Now, what did you have to tell me?
That you better get the water cooler fixed, sir. We're losing quite a bit of water.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll take care of it. And now, if you'll pardon me, I have to call the newsreel people. You see, tonight, my boy, I'll be seeing you in uniform.
Goodbye, sir.
Well, what did he say?
Millie, would you do me a favor?
What?
I don't have the nerve to jump, so if I sit on the windowsill, would you give me just a little push?
Morton, you didn't tell him.
I couldn't, Millie. He's got the governor and the mayor coming, the reporters, the newsreels, to pay tribute to me in my uniform. How could I say I wouldn't be wearing one?
Morton, you're going to be wearing one.
Huh?
You're going to enlist. That's what you're going to do. You're going to join up right now.
But Millie...
It's the only way, Morton. Come on, I'll get my hat. There's an Army recruiting office right around the corner. You'll be a lot safer with a gun in your hands than one in Mr. Boone's.
Okay, take off your shirt, son.
Go on, Morton. Let the doctor examine you.
Okay. There we are.
He's really much stronger than he looks, Doctor.
He'd have to be to have made the stairs. Son, where did you get all those ribs?
Aren't these the usual number?
I suppose so. I guess I just didn't recognize them without flesh. I'm sorry, son.
Doctor, you mean the Army doesn't want them?
My dear young lady, not only doesn't the Army want them, but I wouldn't want it to get out that we have civilians like this.
Come on, Morton. If the Army doesn't want you, there's someone else who will.
Okay, son, you can put your coat and shirt back on now.
Oh, boy, I'm in a dock. I'm in the Navy. Wow, I'm going to be a...
Hold it.
Huh?
Now, son, it's true the Navy's asked me to scrape the bottom of the barrel for personnel. But so far, they haven't asked me to take the barrel.
You mean...
I'm sorry, son. You're breathing and you're warm, but that's about the best I can say for you.
Look, Doctor, I know he isn't in very good physical shape, but he'd be a very valuable man for the Navy. He's had a lot of experience on ships. Haven't you, Morton?
Oh, yes, sir. I operated my own craft in Sheepshead Bay for 3 years.
Well, your own craft, eh? Diesel engine?
No, sir.
Gasoline?
No, sir.
Well, what then?
Oars?
So long, son.
But, Doctor...
Ouch!
Come on, Morton. We've just begun to fight.
And that's why I want to join the Marines, sir. Because it's the roughest, toughest, fightingest outfit in the United States Armed Services. And I'm the roughest, toughest, fightingest man who ever wanted to hook up with them.
What do you say, sir? Say the word that'll make me a proud and happy fighting United States Marine. Ha!
So you want to join the Air Force, huh?
Oh, yes, sir, I sure would.
He's just the right size for a tail gunner, too.
Yes, that's true. However, our standards are rather high. You wear those glasses all the time?
Oh, no, sir. He doesn't really need glasses. His eyes are perfect, aren't they, Morton?
Oh, sure. I can look at anything without my glasses. I just put them on to see what it is I'm looking at.
Okay, take them off.
Well, yes, sir. There we are.
Okay, now walk over to the wall next to that desk.
What desk?
The one next to the filing cabinet.
What filing cabinet?
The one against the wall.
What wall?
That one, Morton. Over there, straight ahead.
Oh! Millie, let's go.
Let go of me. Your girlfriend's over there.
Come on, Morton. We're not licked yet.
Millie, here?
We've tried everything else, Morton. It's your last chance to get into uniform.
I know, but...
Here he comes.
Well, can I do something for you folks?
Yes, sir. This man wants to join up. And a man with his spirit and his enthusiasm is just what your outfit needs.
Oh, I'm sorry, but he's really much too old for the Cub Scouts.
Come on, Morton.
Confound it, where is that boy? It's almost time to leave for the banquet.
Mr. Boone, it's a terrible time to tell you
this.
Don't
you tell me anything, Miss Bronson. I'm too nervous. He's 20 minutes late. I can't keep the press and the governor waiting forever.
But, Mr. Boone, there's something you should know.
Miss Bronson, you've been annoying me for 2 hours. The only thing I want to know is why that boy isn't here in his uniform, as he said he'd be.
But I'm trying to tell you, if you'll just listen. The truth is that Morton wasn't...
Come in.
Morton.
Morton? Good heavens.
I said I'd be in uniform, and here I am.
But... Oh, Morton Rappaport, how could you?
Corporal Morton Rappaport, at your service. First Platoon, 4th Squad, 2nd Balcony Division of the Radio City Music Hall Lushes.
Oh, no, Morton. No.
Meet Millie, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 4th of September, 1951 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms from Radio's Golden Age on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Now it's time for The Anderson Family, a relatively short run on the air in 1947. It's a syndicated series from Cardinal Syndication, who distributed mostly short story shows, like Jimmy Scribner, who performed all of the voices in the Sleepy Joe series, the announcer from The Whistler, among many other shows, Marvin Miller, who had his own program that was sent out to stations that bought it from Cardinal called Marvin Miller Storyteller, and the talent of Frank Graham, who was featured in the Nightcap Yarns show with short stories like Cactus Has a Heart and Kenny Sawyer's Bad Temper. So now one of their few longer-form shows, released for syndication in 1947, it's the 12th episode of The Anderson Family.
Anderson Family.
Hurry up, Mary. I have to meet that 2:30 train, and I'm already late.
But I thought you were going to take me to the hairdresser's, Oliver.
I just can't take the time, Mary. I'm meeting a fellow by the name of Childs, a big buyer, and the boss won't stand for any side errands.
Well, it won't take but a minute, darling.
Okay. Are you ready to go right now?
Well, no, but I could be in 10 minutes, and I just have to have my hair done for PTA tomorrow.
Would you like to have the ladies point at you and say, her husband isn't working anymore, you know?
Uh-oh, here we go again, folks.
Now let's visit the Anderson family. Well, this whole thing started when Oliver Anderson came home unexpectedly in the middle of the afternoon and told Mary he had to meet a train in half an hour. A big buyer is coming in on this train, and the boss has given strict instructions that Oliver give the buyer plenty of attention. Right now, Oliver Anderson is putting on the rush act as he enters his home.
Mary? Mary!
Yes? What is it? What are you doing home so early, Oliver?
I can't take the time to explain. I'll tell you as I go along. I'm to meet a train in a half an hour. Now, where's my clean shirt, sports shoes, and my brown suit?
Well, I haven't ironed yet. Your sports shoes are at the shoemaker's, and your brown suit's down to the cleaner's.
I see. Does Junior have an extra pair of Levi's I could use?
Oh, now, look, calm down, Senator.
Oh.
What train are you to meet, and why?
Well, a big buyer's coming in, and the boss has laryngitis, so I'm the selected one to make the deal. I'm also supposed to dress accordingly.
Well, it won't take but a minute. I'll iron a shirt for you.
Now, I'll get it, Mary. Get started on the shirt.
All right.
Hi, Oliver.
Oh, it's Homer. Well, come on in, I guess.
Well, thank you. I seen you drive up, Oliver, and I thought maybe someone was sick or something.
No, no, everyone's well, and I have to hurry.
Where are you going?
To meet a train.
Oh, I see. Well, I thought I'd ride downtown with you if you was going right back.
Well, I'll be leaving in 5 minutes, I hope.
Yeah, I got to see the hotel man about some cement work. Meet him in the lobby, 2:45. It's right on your way.
Okay, come on in and sit down.
How's Martha, Homer?
Oh, she's got a slight cold.
Oh, that's too bad.
Look, Homer, Mary's ironing her shirt. Don't talk to her now.
I've been giving her peppermint tea and stuff. It seems to kind of relax her. I remember one time...
Maybe she should get more rest, Homer.
Look, Homer, wait out in the car for me, will you? You're just holding up things.
Oh, wait in the car, huh?
Yeah.
You ain't going to take long.
No, I'll hurry. Now, go on. The car's out and back.
Well, get on your toes, fella. Can't keep a man waiting, you know.
I'll be right there. Now, how's that shirt coming, Mary?
Just take it easy now, Oliver. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to make it.
Will this striped shirt go with the blue suit?
I think it looks nice.
Well, let's have it. And bring me that old blue suit.
Hmm?
I'll jump into it and fly. Maybe the client is...
There you are, dear. Quick, a clean handkerchief.
Now, hurry, Mary. Look, my shoes.
Uh-huh.
My coat.
Yeah.
Here, hold it. Quick.
But, Oliver, dear, wait a minute.
I don't have the time. Here, give me a kick. Wish me luck.
I do, dear, but...
I'll be back with a fat order.
But, Oliver, wait a minute.
I can't, Mary. Goodbye.
Oliver Anderson, come back here and put on your pants.
Pardon me, is the train in yet from the east?
How should I know? I don't work here. I'm waiting just like you.
Oh. Well, maybe this is the train standing over here, huh? Did you see a man get off the train?
Look, brother, I know your kind, and if you annoy me further, I shall report you.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll wait here by the gate. This red flower in my lapel is a sign. He'll probably look me up. Now, where's that card? Oh, yeah, here it is. I see child. I better remember that name.
Excuse me. Are you by any chance Mr. Thompson of Tupps, Torrance, and Thompson Company?
Thompson? No, he's ill with laryngitis, but I'm with the firm. My name's Anderson.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought I'd never locate you. But I looked for the red flower, and here you are.
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm waiting for someone. And I see child.
I'm I see child.
That's fine. You're I.C. Child?
Of course. Ilgrid Child. Are you surprised?
Well, no. I thought it would be a man.
Oh, the same thing happens lots of times.
Oh, does it?
Well, Mr. Anderson, according to my wire, there is a room reserved for me at the hotel.
Oh, yes, of course. Here, let me have your bag.
I want to clean up and get a little rest before we look over the stock.
Sure. Right this way now. My car's outside. Miss Child?
Oh, why don't you just call me Ilgrid?
Well, it would be easier. Ilgrid.
Going, Mr. Kilroy.
Here's your key, Miss Childs. It's 304. I'll carry your bag over to the elevator. I'll wait down here for you, and then you probably want to eat.
You're very kind, Mr. Anderson.
Just part of our firm service is all.
Who's that elderly gentleman in the yellow sweater? He's been simply staring at us.
Where? That's a neighbor of mine, Homer Meister. He's here on business.
Oh, are they opening a carnival in the lobby?
Carnival?
Oh, you mean the sweater and the cap.
And I do believe he wants to speak to you. Here he comes.
Oh, he's all right.
I ain't met my man yet, Oliver.
Oh, well, he'll be along.
I suppose so. I don't believe I've met the young lady.
Young lady? Yes. That's right. You haven't. Miss Childs, may I present Mr. Meister?
I'm simply thrilled.
Yeah, Ray. Well, I like to be right neighborly myself. Of course, there ain't nothing personal.
Oh, of course. Of course, I understand.
Yeah, going to be in town long?
Just a day or so.
Oh, I see. Well, I'd like to have you see our park before you leave town. Awful pretty this time of the year. And the benches are right comfortable, too.
Look, Homer, Miss Childs is tired now. She doesn't have much time, and she has to eat yet.
Oh, well, I drop in and out of the hotel during the day and an early evening. Thought maybe not to know anybody in town, Miss Childs.
Oh, but I'll be terribly busy, Mr. Meister. And what would we do with Mr. Anderson?
Well, yes, of course, we've got to think of him, too.
Look, Homer, go sit down in that chair. I'll be with you in a couple of minutes.
Chair?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Sure, I'll wait for you. And I'm mighty happy I had this little talk with you, Miss Childs.
I enjoyed it myself, Mr. Meister. Thank you.
I don't know how to apologize for Homer. He's kind of forward.
Oh, but he's delightful.
Huh?
You can't hurt a nice old man like him. I enjoyed it. Really, I did. His eye just sparkled.
Well, that's pretty nice of you to say that.
Oh, don't give it another thought, Mr. Anderson.
Going up.
Hmm?
Oh, here's my elevator. If you'll be kind enough to wait in the lobby for me, I'll be right down. And I'd like to get a bite to eat.
Yeah, well, I'll have a table reserved. Anytime you're ready to eat.
Right.
Now, I'm not going home yet, Homer.
Oh, yeah, eh?
You know, Homer, you're a pretty nice guy, but...
No. Wait a minute, Oliver. I don't go around talking.
That isn't the point. She's a very nice girl.
Yep, certainly is.
I don't want to hear any more about it. This is a business deal.
Yep. I ain't to say one thing one way or t'other, but, every man's got his own life to live. You say you ain't going home yet?
No. I have to take Miss Childs to dinner first.
Well, now, of course, it ain't none of my business, Oliver, but Mary's a good woman, and
I know that.
And someone's going to misunderstand, especially with a good-looking babe like her.
I don't see why I have to stand here and defend myself when I haven't done anything.
Well, I ain't asking you to.
Well, then go on home and forget it. I'm going to be busy.
I'm afraid I put you out terribly, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, now, don't give it another thought. I get paid for doing a job, and this is a very pleasant one. how's the food?
Very good.
Oh, here you are, Anderson.
Huh? Oh, excuse me. Miss Childs, Mr. Briggs, another neighbor of mine.
Oh, how do you do?
Thank you.
I just met Homer Meister. He said you were in the hotel. I just had to see you. Slide over a bit, will you, young lady?
Slide over?
Here, now, wait, Briggs. Get in on this side if you must sit down.
Oh, there you are.
I hope I'm not crowding you. Maybe I'd better stand.
No, I'm perfectly comfortable. Anderson, Millicent is waiting up the street. I must have a check cashed, but I don't have a check with me. Do you have a black one?
They'll give you one in the lobby.
The lobby?
Yeah.
Very well, I'll inquire there. You're new around here, aren't you, young lady?
Look, Briggs, Miss Childs is here on business. Now, if you don't mind, we'd like to be alone.
I should think you would be embarrassed, Anderson. However, it's no affair of mine. We have divorce courts for this sort of thing.
Look, Miss Childs, I'm sorry, this whole thing...
But I'm enjoying it immensely. Please, Mr. Anderson, believe me.
Well, then, as long as you're going to... Not going to spend anything, Briggs. Now, move on out and give me back my chair.
Very well, Anderson, but you regret this humiliation.
Mary! Junior!
Huh? Oh, hi, Pop. Come on in.
Where's Mom?
Mom?
Yeah.
Gee, I don't know, Pop. She was so mad when she left, she didn't even say goodbye to me.
Mom left?
Yeah. Gee, I haven't done a thing, honest.
Well, what happened? I mean, what's she mad about?
I didn't hear. All I know is Mrs. Meister came over and Mom was putting up some pickles.
Oh, I see. Martha was over, huh? What'd she say?
I don't know, but I heard Mom working herself up into a rage. And when I went out to see what was going on, she threw the whole pan of pickles out in the backyard.
Oh, so that's it. Homer went home and told Martha, and Martha came over here and...
And told her what, Pop?
Nothing.
I think Mom left some kind of note before she went. She asked where a pencil was.
Note? Yeah, here it is. Have gone to Mother's. Look, Junior, here's the whole story. The client I met was a young lady.
Pretty?
Kinda.
Gee, no wonder.
No wonder what?
Oh, nothing.
Look, I'm trying to explain that Martha must have told Mary I was seen by Homer with a young lady. And it was just a client.
All you had to do was tell Mom the client was a girl.
I didn't know it till she got off the train.
Of course, I understand, Pop.
Sure, you do.
But Mom doesn't.
Well, look, it isn't like her to fly off the handle without first finding out about it.
Maybe Mrs. Meister didn't tell her, Pop. Maybe Mrs. Briggs did, because Mom talked to her on the phone before she left.
Oh, I see. That's another place it could come from.
I guess a fella has to be pretty careful in a small town like this.
Yeah. How do you mean?
Well, nothing. Nothing's wrong. But still, a whole family is broken up. And they talk about kids going haywire.
Well, don't you worry any more about it. If Mom wants to act that way, she'll get no cooperation from me.
Where are you going, Pop?
I'm going to the Briggs. I want to find out just what she told your mother.
I can't understand why you act so evasive, Freebairn.
I agree.
I don't see why. If Anderson was impolite to you, you must consider the sword.
I'll scratch his eyes out.
Now, Freebairn.
I'll pull his tie off. I'll tear it to shreds.
Please, Freebairn, control yourself.
I agree.
Why don't you tell me just what he did to you?
It's between him and me, Pet.
What have you and this Anderson been doing?
Nothing, my dear, nothing.
It's mighty suspicious to me. He's done nothing. Still, you're angry. Please, now, Freebairn, control yourself. And please adjust your toupee.
Good evening, Mrs. Briggs. May I step in?
I don't want any trouble now, Anderson.
I don't either. I've got enough.
Freebairn is in here. Come in.
Yeah, I want to see him.
What do you want, Anderson?
I want to know what your wife said to Mary on the phone.
Me? Why, nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, he must have said something. I came home and found a note saying she was going to her mother's.
Probably needed a rest.
How do you mean that?
Just a moment, Pet. I'll handle this. Anderson, you're acting in a very obnoxious manner, huh? And I will not have my wife insulted by every peasant in the block.
Why? What are you afraid of?
Yes, Freebairn. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of nothing. I had nothing to do with your misfortune at home, Anderson.
Then how did Mary know we were with that girl?
Freebairn, you didn't tell me.
Oh, he just kissed it.
Freebairn!
I barely passed the time of day, my dear.
Yeah, he only wanted to get a check cashed.
Oh, I see you're both in this together.
Well, how do you mean that?
Simply this, Anderson. Your little alibi won't work about the check. Freebairn cannot cash a check unless it's countersigned by me.
Well, maybe it was some other check.
Where did you get another check, Freebairn?
I refuse to answer.
Very well. You'll never forget this little episode, Freebairn. Humiliating me in front of a neighbor.
I don't get it, Freebairn.
Millicent knew nothing about your escapade.
Well, it wasn't an escapade. Only you and Homer knew I was with her.
Then perhaps you'd better look up Homer. In the meantime, you'll excuse me while I help Millicent pack her clothes.
Yep, what is it?
Look, Homer, let me in.
What for?
I want to talk to you.
Well, make it snappy. I got to get back downtown. The fella at the hotel wants to see me about some cement work.
The fella, huh?
Yep.
Look, Homer, if you don't stay away from Miss Child, she'll call the cops, and I'm not kidding.
Now, wait a minute, Oliver Anderson.
Oh, you wait, bud. Look, did you tell Martha that you met me in the hotel lobby with this client of mine?
Well, in a kind of roundabout way, I did, yep.
Well, she ran right over and told Mary.
She didn't do no such
don't
thing.
Don't tell me she didn't. Mary was so mad she threw out a whole pan full of pickles.
Shucks. I didn't think Marcy'd ever do a thing like it, Oliver.
Well, she did.
Yes, so help me, I didn't.
Well, harm's been done.
Well, I'll tell Mary different. She believes me.
Mary's gone. Gone to her mother.
Oh, say, now, that is bad, ain't it? Mm. When's she going to bring her back? I'll tell her it ain't so.
That's too late for that. Martha's put me in a pretty bad spot, Homer.
Well, now, if she's gone and done that, she'll answer to me for it. Right's right, and I'll stand right up and tell her so, too, dagnabbit.
No, never mind, Homer. The damage has been done already.
Well, maybe you're right. Of course, there ain't need of me breaking up my home, too.
That's right. Yeah. But I'm telling you this, Homer. If you go down to that hotel to see Miss Childs, you're wasting your time.
I am, ain't.
Yeah.
You just don't know women. Didn't you hear me invite her to see our park?
Yes, I did. And being a lady, she didn't tell you what she thought of you.
Jealous, huh?
No. Anyhow, she's gone. She took the chain back this afternoon.
Oh, she did, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, me.
So you can take off your cowboy suit and pick up life where you left off.
Yep. Maybe you're right, Oliver. I sure acted the fool. Martha is a good woman, and I reckon I should appreciate her.
And you should teach her not to carry talk around where it isn't wanted.
Look here, young fella. Don't you worry none about it, Oliver. I'll sure give her a piece of my mind about that.
Well, now you're getting somewhere.
If you'll just wait a minute, I'll walk as far as your house with you.
You better stay away from that hotel.
Oh, I ain't going down there. I just thought I'd drop in at the Gem Cafe a minute.
Not to see Antoinette Murphy, the waitress.
Well, now, she's a good kid. She's never seen any of them seashells I got at the beach, and I thought maybe she'd kind of like to look them over, you know what I mean?
That you, Mom?
No.
Nobody's home. Gee, I'm hungry. Gee, Pop, when do we eat?
Eat? Yeah, when do we eat?
Maybe there's some junk in the icebox, huh?
Could be. Let's look.
Well, there's some pickles in the backyard. I guess Mom must be pretty mad.
Well, so am I. Why didn't she talk to me first? Why does she listen to these gossiping neighbors?
Anything good to eat in the icebox, Pop?
Some of that stew. If we could warm it up a bit.
Gee, stew again?
Well, you're hungry, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Gee, it's lonesome without Mom.
Well, it's all her fault, Junior.
Maybe if you told her you were sorry.
Sorry? Sorry about what? I haven't done anything.
Maybe Mom's crying and everything.
I don't see why.
She must feel awful.
Yeah, I suppose she does. Hand me that pot holder, son. Well, you just can't pull up your roots and start over.
Yeah, here, Pop.
Thanks.
Well, I suppose I can spend my vacations with you, Pop.
I'm sure you can. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, if Mom can't get over the shock and everything.
That's your mom now.
Oh, yeah.
Just act like nothing happened. Give her the cold treatment.
Okay.
Oh, I've never been so angry in my life. Never.
Welcome home, Mom.
Mother kept me talking for hours. Well, what's wrong with you, Oliver?
You decided to come home, huh?
Why, of course.
Well, you've heard Martha's story. Now, do you want to hear mine?
Yours? Oh, what do you know about pickles?
What does pickles have to do with it?
Martha told me the wrong way to fix the pickles. I was so mad at the way they came out, I threw the whole pan of them out.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't go to your mother's just because Martha told you...
Oh, of course not. I went to Mother's to get the recipe she uses. I left you a note. Surely you saw it.
Pop found it.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean you only went to your mother's to get a recipe and you're not angry?
Oh, of course not, silly. I met Mr. Thompson on the street. He told me what a wonderful sale you'd made. I'm really proud of you, darling.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Did he tell you who the client was?
Oh, come now. Don't be childish.
Huh?
Of course he did. He said she was a very attractive young lady.
Oh.
And she complimented you highly.
Oh. Oh? Oh. Oh.
Gee, Mom, you're sure broad-minded, isn't she, Pop?
Oh, certainly. What made you think she could be otherwise?
Now, if you'll get out of the way, I'll get us something to eat in a hurry.
Oh, gee. You're really back home to stay, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't believe what Martha said?
Martha?
Well, she didn't say anything that...
Oh.
Oh, I think that's Mr. Briggs. He was coming this way when I saw him.
Junior, tell Briggs I can't see him now.
Okay. But hurry up dinner, Mom.
Look, after this, when you go to your mother's, put down the reason, too, will you? I thought you left because the client turned out to be a girl.
Oh, how silly. What's wrong in showing a client around the store? After all, business is business.
Gee, that's swell.
I can't help it if your father is busy. I have to see this very book.
Now, wait a minute, Briggs. We're just going to eat.
I can't help that, Anderson. I don't care how you treat your own family, but you'll not break up mine.
Why, Mr. Briggs, what's wrong?
I'll go over, Mary. I won't be in a minute.
Well, I don't get it. Mr. Anderson will be over in a few minutes, Mr. Briggs.
Very well. I'll not be blamed for Anderson's escapade.
I'll be in my room, Mom. When dinner's ready, call me, huh?
Wait, Junior. What does he mean, Oliver? What escapade?
Oh, nothing. I just took the client to lunch at the hotel, and Millicent is angry because Briggs sat down with us.
Oh, how cozy.
Well?
You didn't tell me you took her to the hotel to eat.
Well, I didn't have a chance.
And how many times have I asked you to take me there to eat? How many times have you said it's awfully expensive?
It was on the firm. I had to do it.
Now, what do Millicent and Martha think about me? Oliver, you should have more respect for me than...
Now,
to...
look, oh, Mary, just... please try to understand.
Uh-oh, here we go again, folks.
The Anderson Family is written by Howard Swart, directed by Herb Litton, and features Dick Lane as Oliver, Louise Arthur as Mary, Walter Tetley as Junior, and Herbert Rawlinson as Homer.
The Anderson Family, on Tuned to Yesterday, Episode 12, from the syndicated series from 1947. Bringing the curtain down on this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.